From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is Halloween, October the 31st, 2011. There are now 7 billion human mouths to feed on planet Earth. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. As we close out our program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, I'll give you a history of our human race in terms of population and agriculture. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat down 16 and a quarter at $6.28 and a quarter. The March at 664 and a half, 16 cents lower. May futures 687 and a quarter down 16. And July wheat of next year at 704 and a quarter down 14 and three quarters. The hard red in Kansas City at 758 for the harvest month. That's July, down 13 cents. In the corn pit, nearby December contract, an 8 cent loss at $6.47 on the settlement price. March corn at $6.59 down 8. May at $6.65, 8 and a quarter lower. July $6.69 down 8 and a quarter. September corn $6.26 down 8 and a half. And next year's December contract at $6.07 and a half down 8 and a half cents. November beans $12.07 and a half, 9 and a half lower. January at $12.17 and a quarter, down 8 and three quarters. The March soybeans $12.27 down 8 and three quarters. July at $12.46 down 8, and November at $12.25 and three quarters, down 10 and three quarters of a cent. December bean meal futures at $3.16 and a dime, down $1.40. December bean oil $51.17, down 60 cents on the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby December contract at $118.60, down 45 cents per 100 pounds. February at $121.37 and a half, down 57 and a half. November feeder cattle at $140 and a nickel, down $1.05. January at $144.65, 95 cents lower. And December lean hogs today, a gain of 80 cents to finish at $87.47 and a half. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures, $93.25 a barrel, down 7 cents. Ethanol at 275 and 6 tenths, that's 3 tenths of a cent lower. Natural gas at 393 and 4 tenths, a penny and a tenth higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.04 and 2 tenths, down a penny and 6 tenths. And the gold futures on the day, $22 lower at $1,724.20 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 157 points lower at 12,074, and the dollar at 76.17, up 1.1. The CRB index at 319.18, or rather 319.84, that's down 3.23 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for Urbana-Champaign looks like for this afternoon yet. We should see mostly sunny skies, a high of 56 degrees, west winds about 7 to 9, mostly clear this evening for Halloween, a low of 33 degrees, west winds at 5 miles per hour. And then on Tuesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies, a high of 66 degrees with a low of 43, or rather a high of 66 and then a low of 43 in the evening. It'll be clear then, too. Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high of 68 degrees, southwest winds 10 to 17. Wednesday night, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 45. And Thursday, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm on Thursday, cloudy, a high of 53, chance of precip set at 60%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 41, and mostly sunny on Friday, a high of 54 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 42. Saturday, sunny, and a high near 63 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast for Halloween this evening and for the Midwest and what's happening for the rest of the week when we talk with Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Kind of a scary day, I suppose, in Chicago. And maybe, and I don't know whether we've taken this up very much in other places, but of course we probably ought to discuss MF Global just a bit. There will be people caught on the wrong side of that one, meaning they're trading with them at this point, and they're stopped, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a bad deal. This is about the third one that I've seen, Stotler and Refco and MF Global, and basically you're in a kind of a liquidation and hold mode. If you are one of those clients, you need to visit with your broker and see what your options are. But in the disclosure agreements and account forms, it's basically set up that there is a bankruptcy involved. You can either come in and have it transferred or liquidated. The problem is the raw dollars in your account are frozen, and it's going to take some time for the bankruptcy court to free that up. Even though it's a segregated account, they are there, so it does put people in a financial flow as far as crunch goes here. So it's a messy situation. We clear through ATM Investor Services, and we're quite happy to be there right now.
Yeah, if you cleared through MF Global, I would not have asked you this question.
But it happens, and it's going to happen more down the road. So it's very important to work with a solid company. And sometimes you really don't know how solid companies are due to the 24-hour trading and large positions that some of these companies take off on the side. It's not that they weren't profitable. They made some I can't really comment on what they did, but
yeah,
they did have very good management decisions on some things, I guess is the best way to sum it up without getting in trouble.
Right. So the question is not really about MF Global at this point, but does it have a larger impact in the commodity markets in the near term or in weeks or some time frame at all, do you think?
No, this is all short term.
Yeah,
this
so it
all
just happens.
This is talked about heavily late last week.
Right.
The aftermath is now, maybe tomorrow after that. I think it's a non-event. It's the customers' dealings from here on out trying to get situated. But as far as the market impact, it's not like a Lehman Brothers or anything big like that. Now, the ones I mentioned earlier were strictly just commodity companies. Now, there's a big financial institution there in 2008. You know, that was prolonged. That
right.
caused hedge fund problems, and there's ripple effects around the world, whereas this, I believe, is a short-term event.
Okay, so tell me what happened in Chicago today and why we were lower.
Basically, month-end, liquidation fears, more outside maybe economic short-term negativeness. For example, Dow down, bonds up, strong dollar, weaker metal values, and it generated some sell pressure. It's part of the territory now with the large money flow we have. Some of these large money managers, tie everything together, and therefore it was mainly just a liquidation mode sell-off, technical selling short-term. Late in the day there, we saw buying interest come back in. Corn closed basically about 9 off the low. Same thing on beans, 13, 14 off the low, and wheat bounced about 9 cents off low, indicating some support, some buying interest near today's low. We continue to believe it's sort of an up-down trading affair. We feel the fall low is in place, and the market should try to hold together as a whole going into first part of December, barring no disaster, somewhere in the world.
So the marketplace trading and marking time. But the moves are a little bigger than we've been used to in marking time in past when it's been a quarter of a cent or a penny. Marking time, I suppose, means 10 or 12 cents moving one way or the other in a pretty wide range. What kind of trading range do you think we have at this point?
Oh, that's a good question. Over the near term, I imagine December corn, you've got 20 cents, 25 cents to the upside and probably another 10 to 15, maybe 26 to the downside. It's kind of hard to pinpoint that. You got to be mentally prepared to see dollar trading ranges. you know, you ask that question, then you go on out to 12 on Alpha Mirror now, we could very easily see December 12 corn trading in a $4 trading range. We could see these 12 corn as high as $8 and as low as $4, and we could touch both those ranges two or three times maybe due to volatility being in the marketplace next year, according to what the weather maps show.
When you look at a flat price for corn, has basis been holding strong, and did it do so over the weekend and today? I have not watched.
Pretty much so, yes. Whenever you get sell-offs like this, producers pulling the selling, and basis has a tendency to hold in there quite well. We're looking at harvest progress this afternoon as a nation to show bean harvest anywhere from the 73 to 77% complete.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm sorry, corn harvest 73 to 77% complete, and beans up towards 90%. And the tendency there is there once guys get harvest wrapped up, they're not aggressive on selling. I've not had much luck seeing a guy fill up a bin, turn around and sell the next day or week, or same thing on paying minimum storage. Very rarely does that happen when they turn around and sell it.
Any final word from you for the day?
Oh, dynamic market. There's a, like we mentioned, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs through there. That's why you need to stay tuned to this program and catch up on the latest word. Just a word of caution on the wheat market. There's a ton of world wheat business taking place here, but very little out of the U.S. here, Todd.
Thank you so much, Kurt.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason. Up next, a little history of agriculture and world population. Well, during the noon hour, Central Time today, October the 31st, 2011, the United Nations world population clock ticked past 7 billion. It's an enormous number. Just how big? Well, in year one of our Christian calendar, there were about 200 million people on the planet. Now, it took about 1,800 years for that number to grow to 1 billion. It's about that same time Thomas Jefferson, yes, the Thomas Jefferson, was tinkering with the moldboard plow. It's a good thing, too, and even better when John Deere took the iron plow and made it steel in the 1830s. Oh, and the McCormick Reaper was patented about that same time, and the first grain elevator was built in Buffalo, New York. It took about 300 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of wheat from 5 acres of land in 1830. 20 years later, in 1850, when the world population had grown to 1.2 billion and those inventions were pretty widely used, a farmer could spend just 90 hours to raise 100 bushels of corn on half the number of acres, 2.5. Now, some things are so simple and so overlooked, but change everything. Barbed wire. It tamed the West and changed everything about animal husbandry and beef cattle production. Joseph Glidden of DeKalb, Illinois, didn't invent it, but did improve it and is considered the father of modern barbed wire fencing. Who knew? It did the job, and by 1927, when the planet passed 2 billion people, the open range in America had been fenced. Don't think things in the world of hogs wasn't changing, too. In 1934, the Landrace breed was imported from Denmark. Oh, and row crops. It was about that same time that the first hybrid seed corn company was founded. 1926, Henry A. Wallace's Pioneer Hybrid. It took about 20 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of corn on 2.5 acres. Farmers began the switch from horses to tractors. In the span of about 30 years, the human race added another billion people. It was 1960, and there were 3 billion of us now. Most of America had electricity, and it sure looked like Asia was going to starve to death. Dr. Norman Borlaug, whom I had the pleasure of interviewing for more than an hour in the 1990s, staved that one off when he came across a high-yielding dwarf wheat variety. It saved Asia. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. Anhydrous ammonia fertilizer and herbicides to control weeds were introduced in the 60s. We grew to $4 billion by 1975. It took just 3 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of corn on not 5, but about 1 acre of land. We reached $5 billion in 1987 and $6 billion in 1999. During that same period, man learned how to genetically modify plants. Monsanto introduced Roundup Ready soybeans. They were resistant to glyphosate herbicide. Our soils stay put today in large part because Roundup allowed farmers to stop tilling the land. The first BT corn hybrids were introduced then, too. They were resistant to insects. Today, October the 31st, 2011, our planet surpassed 7 billion people, and we have not starved.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us online at willag.org or on your mobile smartphone at m.willag.org. Your Director of Agricultural Programming is here now, Dave Dickey, with an update of today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, South Korea's conservative Grand National Party on Friday rejected opposition demands for a change to the free trade deal with the U.S., but said it would not use its parliamentary majority to push through the pact before the self-imposed deadline of end of October. The Democratic Party has demanded a renegotiation with the U.S. to fix what it says is imbalances in national interests. The two sides reworked the deal last year to address U.S. automakers' concerns that the original pact would not help open the South Korean market quickly enough. The ruling GNP has a comfortable parliamentary majority to pass bills, but has been unwilling to risk political damage by pushing the trade bill through ahead of a general parliamentary and presidential election that is scheduled for next year. The New York Fed suspended MF Global from conducting new business with the central bank today, and its shares were suspended as the troubled brokerage nears a deal on its future. As per a tentative plan, MF Global's holding company would file for bankruptcy protection, and derivatives trader Interactive Brokers would buy the assets. The Fed said, quote, today, the suspension will continue until MF Global establishes, to the satisfaction of the New York Fed, that MF Global is fully capable of discharging the responsibilities set out in the New York Fed's policy. MF Global, run by former Goldman Sachs chief executive John Corzine, has been struggling over the past week, in which it posted a quarterly loss, its shares fell by two-thirds, and its credit ratings were cut to junk. The Chinese yuan traded up slightly in the morning session today after the central bank fixed the midpoint at a record high level, showing its intention to let the yuan move more quickly. The fixing is interpreted by the market as China's positive gesture ahead of a G20 summit in France on November 3rd and 4th, which will discuss how major global powers can help contain the Eurozone's debt crisis and sustain economic recovery. The Chinese currency has risen 3.75% so far this year, and was up 7.47% since it was depegged from the U.S. dollar in June of 2010. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon, Halloween, October the 31st, 2011. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is the basis holding in?
Yes, basis levels are still firm. We've got another week of harvest yet to finish most people up in this area, but we've seen an extremely strong basis all the way through the harvest period, and not getting any weaker, but not getting any stronger at this point. Once harvest is over, we may see another bump up in the basis after that.
Does that stronger basis give you anything to be scared about as we look out into the 6-12 month area?
Well, if we're already this strong, the feeling is how high might we be this spring and this summer? But the flip side of that is maybe some farmers are holding on to some corn that, because it has paid to hold on to corn the last couple of years. And the only thing I would say is the last couple of years we started from $4, and this year we're starting from $6.50. So holding on into the spring and the summer has worked the last 2 years. It may or may not work this year.
So here's the question is, and I know you've got a pile of corn out back. So how big is that first?
Just under 1 million bushels,
right.
and not because we're so full, just because temporarily the railroad car placements weren't coming in a timely fashion. Don't
ease
like to
of
place the blame, but
okay. So here's the question, and we didn't grapple with this on Commodity Week over the weekend, but we were wondering, and we didn't grapple with it because I think mostly nobody understands why there isn't a lot of corn on the ground at this point. Basis is really tight, but it doesn't seem that farmers are putting it in their bins, or maybe they are, and everybody's kind of wondering where that corn may be because we keep hearing, well, it's better than we thought it was.
Yeah, that's true. My response would be, did we really have the extra 200 million bushels that the USDA says we had in the September stocks report? Because if you don't have that, then you can explain a lot of this strong basis levels. You know, yes, we built a little bit more commercial storage. Yes, the yields, were a little bit disappointing, but not dramatically so. But bottom line is, you know, the basis sure feels to me like if that 200 million bushels was out there, why would we be paying overs, you know, during the middle of harvest? So I just wonder whether that 200 million bushels really was there, if that was DDGs, if that wasn't corn. I mean, you know, that's the question I have is and where was that corn? Maybe it's there, but maybe it's in the Western Corn Belt. It certainly didn't feel like it was here in the Eastern Corn Belt.
Yeah, not in the Eastern Corn Belt. And at this point, there's a large sucking sound, I think. Is it still this way going to the southeast to the poultry producers?
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct.
And you know, what's the difference this year with that? How much further to the west are they having to draw to get enough corn to fill up those silver bins that they're trying to keep full for the poultry production?
Yeah, it I think we'll find out here in the Jan, Feb, and March month. It hasn't been too bad yet, but the writing's on the wall. I mean, you know, the yields in the east just aren't going to be enough to keep up with the demand in the southeast.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 652, January 654, and next fall 567. Cash beans are 1197. January 1203 and next fall 1181, and new crop wheat is 684.
Greg, thanks so much, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you too, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. He's from right here in Champaign County. You have been listening to the Closing Market Report. We'll say so long to some of you now. For the rest of you, stay back, stay with us if you can, and we'll talk with Mark Russo. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the Halloween forecast and what the weather looks like for the Midwest for the rest of the week.
It's All Hallows' Eve and National Caramel Apple Day. The invention of the caramel apple generally goes to Dan Walker, a sales representative for Kraft Foods. Legend has it that in the 1950s, Walker and his young son came up with the idea after buying a red candied apple made with a hard sugar coating. Walker discovered the key to getting the caramel to stick to the apples was adding a little water as the caramels are melted. On this day in agricultural history in 1731, Carl von Voigt was born. A German physiologist, his work on metabolism helped establish modern nutritional science.
In 1920, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes handed down the decision for the Supreme Court, which upheld trademark violations for the Coca-Cola Company against the Coke Company of America. That's K-O-K-E. They argued that Coca-Cola should have changed its name after dropping cocaine from its formula, and that a picture of coca leaves and cola nuts on the bottle's label was misleading. The court disagreed. In 1981, Dunkin' Donuts opened its first store in Thailand. And in 2003, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration released a summary of a draft report concluding that cloned farm animals and their offspring pose little scientific risk to the food supply. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the phone line. Mark, let's not worry about what's happening in the Midwest for agriculture at the moment, because the big day is here. It's time to go get candy for the kids tonight. And we want to know what it'll be like from, 4 to 8 o'clock this evening right here in the east central part of Illinois.
Yeah, well, expect mostly sunny skies here, totally dry weather. Wouldn't say there's really any chance of precipitation. That's all well east of Illinois, so totally dry weather, just a great day, although I guess some could be a little bit greedy and they want warmer temperatures here, but generally temperatures in the mid-50s, and overall here, a pretty nice day for this time of year. And for those that are complaining about the coolness, all you need to do is look out east and the snow and the cold that they've gone through this past weekend. Good thing that did not happen to us here in the Midwest. So good Halloween trick-or-treating here on tap.
Oh, perfect. Now, go for the rest of the week. Tell me there are a few folks that are still harvesting corn in our part of the world and other parts of the Midwest, especially in Ohio. Can you take me through the harvest progress and what they might be seeing in the coming week?
Yeah, well, Ohio continues to be the epicenter of issues here, as that is the area that will see a bit more widespread precipitation. We do have a couple of systems on tap here this week. The first is on tap the middle part of this week, another over the upcoming weekend here. But again, it looks like the activity will be biased more east, especially in areas of Ohio. So for, like, in here in Illinois, whatever remaining harvesting needs to be accomplished should be done without any major issues. And again, the issues are more so out east, especially in Ohio.
Let's stay in the northern hemisphere and hopscotch around the winter wheat growing regions. They've been having some difficult time picking up moisture for the sowing season, and of course we're a good ways through that and should be heading towards dormancy at this point, I think, in a lot of it. How are we setting up as that winter wheat crop heads for dormancy?
Well, it's a variable situation across the Plains hard red winter wheat belt. We've seen some improvement here in October across portions of the belt, but that's only helped caused just very limited improvement in topsoil moisture, and then subsurface soil moisture across the plains just continues to be extremely low here due to the ongoing severe drought. We do have another opportunity for precip coming up the middle part of this week. Some of it will be in the form of snow across areas of Colorado, western Kansas, but for Texas, Oklahoma, very limited precip amounts here. So looks like the crops are going to be going into dormancy here still with some deficiencies. That's especially true the further south you go into Oklahoma and Texas.
Do we run into the same types of problems across Eurasia?
We do have some dryness concerns, or had some dryness concerns in portions of Europe, which had a very dry October and even into September. Eastern Europe and Ukraine, Russia, those areas did see improvement here, and soil moisture reserves are generally adequate here as the crops go into dormancy. Western Europe now is improving, so really, across the whole northern hemisphere, if you had to pick an area with at least the greatest amount of issues, that would be here in the U.S.
South America looks to be in good shape.
It does, and that looks to continue in the first half of November with rain opportunities and generally good planting conditions across Argentina and Brazil.
Mark, have a great Halloween, and thank you so much.
Thanks. You too, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.